You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob, and you're listening to episode number 435.
That is right. And today we're going to be talking about how close can you really fly to people? Mm. What about flying over people? What does the law say? And today's show is brought to you by VideoBlocks. Are you making productions, films, videos, whatever you want to call them, Instagram videos? Do you need some B-roll, some segue shots, some transition stuff? Well, gone are the days where you have to pay 8, 20, 50 bucks per shot. Mm. Now with VideoBlocks, you can pay one low annual fee to have access to hundreds of thousands of HD clips.
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, there's a whole lot on there.
Yep.
So if you go to videoblocks.com/drone, again, that's videoblocks.com/drone, save 50 bucks or 33% on an annual membership.
Yep.
So you can use this stock footage for all of your productions. So thanks again to VideoBlocks. We really do appreciate having them as a sponsor. And today, this has been a fiery debate online, Rob. What is flying over people? People want to know, what is flying over people? Does that mean I'm 20 feet away from you, I'm flying over you, 5 feet away from you? What does it mean?
Yeah, well, and I think you've got some great information that's going to clear that up. In fact, I was a little surprised at just how specific the codification gets.
Yes.
I always wonder, are people asking this question because, and I think it probably covers the gamut, people want to be safe and they really want to do the right thing. And I think some people are kind of wondering, how much can I push the envelope? And so
yeah.
I think the specifics within these laws are actually very helpful. And
although the interesting part here is that you cannot find the specifics in the law itself, it was actually in the interpretation. And I just want to give a shout out to Loretta Alkay. She is a former FAA lawyer and actually pointed this out to me.
Nice.
And I think this is, by the way, this is from the FAA. What we're going to tell you today is literally from the FAA. And I think it's going to clear up a lot of questions. In fact, we should probably play that question, which came into the show before 107 came about. And we're going to explain to you why the question was relevant before August 29th. And we're going to explain what it means now. Is it relevant now? So let's go ahead.
Hey guys, love the show, love what you're doing. Just a quick question. My friend got a call from the FAA. They said they were going through some of his videos and called to give him a warning that he was flying 500 feet from structures and people. I was just trying to get your guys' opinion on how you guys do real estate or pick your jobs, I guess, from this regulation. Let me know what you guys think. Thanks.
So again, we want to clarify very, very clearly that this was pre-August 29th.
Pre-14 CFR 107.
Absolutely. And so the reason that we went ahead with the question, Paul, is because we think that there are probably a lot of people out there that are still wondering about these kinds of things. And as we transition into 107 and operating under 107, these kind of questions are still floating out there as far as what we're hearing from people. And so we thought we'd go into it.
It is very true. But just a quick side note. For the Newport Beach police helicopter pilot, I really think that you should read 14 CFR 91119, which discusses minimum safe altitudes over people.
Mm.
That's just a special note for the Newport Beach Police Department.
I hope they're listening.
Well, the police, I actually really like them. It's the police helicopter pilot who...
It was that one very specific person,
one specific person. I'm calling you out. Yes. Anyway, in regards to drones, before August 29th, of 2016, drones were defined as aircraft. They were not a separate entity. They were not the remote pilot or an SUAS, small unmanned aerial system. They were defined as aircraft. So for a long time, people would use 14 CFR 91119. This includes some FAA FISDO inspectors as to what is the minimum safe distance from things. So I'm going to go into 14 CFR 91119 just really quick. Pretty much at an altitude allowing if a power unit fails at an emergency landing without undue hazards to person or property over the surface, but when over any congested area of a city, town, or settlement, or over any open air assembly of persons, an altitude of 1,000 feet above the highest obstacle within a horizontal radius of 2,000 feet of the aircraft itself. So that being said, the helicopter pilot definitely needs to read this, but we haven't gotten to the drone section yet, so let me keep going.
Let's go.
Other than congested areas, an altitude of 500 feet above the surface, except over open water or sparsely populated areas. In those cases, the aircraft may not be operated closer than 500 feet to any person, vessel, vehicle, or structure.
Mm-hmm.
So the Newport Beach helicopter pilot has been breaking this law for quite some time. But
or at least that one time.
Well, yeah, we got video footage if anyone wants to see it. Anyway, that being said, in regards to drones, before August 29th of 2016, this was very relevant. You couldn't really fly within 500 feet of anything. That's why that we had the whole MPTOM,
right,
the motion picture, closed set filming exemption.
Yep.
But now that's all gone away. No more MPTOM, even though the cinematography unions would love and they are trying so hard to ensure that people still need a 333 and a pilot's license, even though in their thick skull, they don't realize that all of the 333 exemptions have expiration dates, just like the milk you never drank.
Well, and this is why 107 was so important and why we were all looking so forward to it, is because there were rules like this that were meant for aircraft, true aircraft, but they were applying to drones and just practically speaking didn't make a lot of sense.
No, it didn't. And it really frustrated a lot of people. So now with 14 CFR 107, the operating limitations are, you know, you can't go faster than 100 miles an hour. You can't fly over 400 feet unless it's within 400 feet of a building and 400 feet above the uppermost structure. You can't fly unless there's 3 miles of visibility, three statute mm-hmm. miles of visibility, which I found really funny thinking about this. Could you visually tell if there was a difference between three statute or 3 nautical miles when determining the distance to clouds?
Or for that matter, 3 versus 4?
No.
I mean, I can. I'm sure there are experienced pilots out there that can. Probably.
I'm sure there are guys who have been sitting in 737s for a long time that can
yeah.
definitely do that. But for most drone guys, having that type of distance recognition from the ground is kind of difficult.
Sure.
Anyway, minimum distance from clouds is no less than 500 feet below a cloud and no less than 2,000 feet horizontally. Now, here's the kicker. Here's what we're talking about. Flying over people. Now, the FAA has a very, very strict definition of this, and I'm actually very happy that they have this, Rob.
Yeah.
Because if a FISDO inspector ever gives you crap about flying over people, you're really going to have to dig deep to be able to get what the FAA said, but it is on page 271 and 272 of the 14 CFR 107 rollout. This is when it was a 624-page document.
Mm-hmm.
They put out all the rules in regards to 107, but they also put out the interpretation. Loretta Alke actually found this. So again, Loretta, thank you so much and can't wait to meet you. She was flying the keys like 2 days after I was. And I was
I
wanted to meet you.
Yeah.
So she was an FAA lawyer for all of you who aren't familiar with her. She's also a thought leader in the group and really, really appreciate reading her bits. Anyway, the FAA defines flying over people as, should I read this in my like government?
I think like, we should, accent? While it's really good information, I think you should do something to make it really like pop.
Really, really, really
do
fun.
There you go. That's fine. Something.
Let's see. Where's my white wig? The term over refers to the flight of a small unmanned aircraft directly over any part of a person.
Okay.
For example, Mr. Burdict, a small UAS that hovers directly over a person's head, shoulders, extended arms, or legs.
So if you're like this, you could be out here, but if you're like this, you got to go further out.
That's right.
I'm holding my arms in and then out for you non-watchers.
This would be an operation over people.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, if a person is lying down, for example, at a beach, an operation over that person's torso or toes would also constitute flying over people, right?
Mm-hmm.
An operation, Mr. Burdict, during which a small UAS flies over any part of any person, regardless of the dwell time, if any, over the person, would be an operation over people, Mr. Burdict.
Thank you very much.
You're
this is so much clearer now.
It's just personal.
Yes.
The remote pilot needs to take into account the small unmanned aircraft's course, speed, and trajectory, including the possibility of a catastrophic failure, to determine if the small unmanned aircraft would go over or strike a person not directly involved in the flight operation. That's a non-participant, Mr. Burdict.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, the remote pilot must take steps using a safety risk-based approach to ensure that...
Always.
Number one, Mr. Burdick, the small unmanned aircraft does not operate over non-participants who are not under a covered structure or in a stationary, keyword, stationary, covered vehicle.
Okay.
Number two, the small unmanned aircraft will pose no undue hazard to other aircraft, people, property, in the event of a loss of control of the aircraft for any reason. That can be found in 14 CFR 107.19.
See, that last part to me is really, really important, because you might have people that say, well, it said I cannot fly over their toes, but if I'm just beyond their toes, well, that should be fine. But then if you read that, you need to take into account, what if something goes wrong?
Exactly.
That's very important.
Right, number three. The small UAS is not operated in a careless or reckless manner so as to endanger the life of property or the life or property of another.
Right on.
I think that's really important to what you just said, too.
Yeah.
Because if you're a foot away from someone and it's seen as careless or reckless...
At least be one of the definitions of careless and reckless is flying that close to somebody.
So what do you think would be a safe distance away?
Well, I don't know that that's ever going to be... Go ahead.
Including trajectory if there were a catastrophic failure.
Well...
And
so,
I'll say, and let me say something really quick, because I read this whole thing.
Sure.
And one of the things that was mentioned here was that there is a parabolic effect when you lose power or have a catastrophic incident.
Mm-hmm.
There are factors that are going to come into hand, like what was the initial direction you were going? What was the initial speed you were going?
Yeah.
What's the distance to the ground? Because, you know, if you fall out of the sky, you're not falling straight down. There's going to be some parabolic, aka curved
mm-hmm.
line that you're going to follow to the ground. So I think that if there were an FAA investigation for someone flying carelessly and recklessly, I think that they would have to prove that in the event of a catastrophic accident, that the person would be in some sort of trajectory, which is kind of hard to prove because it's an if, then, what if kind of... you know, thing. But here's my point, right? If you're 10 feet away mm-hmm. linearly from mm-hmm. someone and you're 10 feet above the ground, is there really an opportunity for the drone to hit that person that's 10 feet away?
I think I know where you're going with that, but I would actually say yes. I think it's possible. You don't know what that drone's going to do if
exactly.
you lose control.
I would say it's plausible
yeah.
if the drone was still creating lift. If the drone was not creating lift, I don't think it would make 10 linear feet away.
Right.
Now, here's the question, or here's a point of evidence that you guys haven't thought about. What was the initial speed of the drone at which it crashed? Because if it was stationary and it lost lift, it's probably going to fall straight to the ground, and a person 10 feet away would probably not be in harm's way. But if we had an initial speed of 25 miles an hour... or even, say, 10 miles an hour,
yeah.
then the person 10 feet away definitely is in harm's way. So this is one of those things where it's like, every factor. And I'm trying to think of this as if I were an FAA inspector. It's like every factor plays a role in whether it was careless or reckless.
Yeah. And so I think that, I don't know. I think that whatever we come up with, we, you, whoever we're talking to comes up with as a safe distance, you almost want to just take and double it, triple it.
Well, I've got a number in my mind that I've heard a lot of other people say, and I've heard it in some FAA documents and some FAA memos and correspondence.
But again, it's subject to the conditions and what the drone is doing at that moment.
And it's also subject to the interpretation of whoever's doing the investigating.
Well, and that's unpredictable.
Well, it's also unpredictable. Like, let's look at where the evidence, like if we were to show the distance from the person to the drone, if the camera is directly perpendicular to the drone, it's going to show distance accurately. Mm-hmm. But if we're on like a 30, 45, 15 degree plane from the drone and the subject in which we're trying to measure distance, it's going to be very difficult to really see just how far away the drone is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in my mind, a safe distance away from people to kind of inhibit nasty interpretation is 25 feet.
Okay.
So like when I'm setting up my landing and takeoff area and I'm putting cones and stuff out, I'm thinking 25 foot radius from my center point.
So let me ask you this, and this is totally being asked, if I may even use the word, from ignorance. Is there any validity to assuming the distance away from whatever you're talking about to say a person being the same as how high you are? So if you're 100 feet high, you need to be at least 100 feet away.
Well,
is there any validity to that?
I don't think so. I mean, like logically, yes.
Okay. Okay.
In the mind of drone pilots, I'm sure everyone's listening to this being like, no, because.
And that's fine. Just asking the question. You can hate on me. That's all right.
But. No, I think it's a valid question. I think it's a good question.
Because my point is, I'm just trying to give people, because it's really ambiguous in terms of what the actual answer is. And of course, it depends on conditions. It depends on the experience of the pilot. I mean, there are a lot of factors here. But if we can give people a rule of thumb,
well, think of
that's
it like,
what I'm going
this
for.
This is kind of how I'm thinking. I think a rule of thumb is good, but I think it's hard to really just, you know, press a rule of thumb as we're recording the podcast, because here's the example here, or here's the exception, right? If we're 25 feet from the person that we're filming,
mm-hmm.
but we're 25 feet in every direction from someone else, is that still going to be deemed as a safe flight? Meaning that all you have to take off and land is your 25 foot circle and everything around that is covered in people. Is that still a safe flight? And I think the answer would be no, because even if you fly in any direction, you're flying over people. Whether it's at 100 feet or 400 feet, it's still flying
over
people. Well,
no, you're right. And so there you go. Those are conditions. I wasn't thinking of being in the middle, like a radius of 20 or 25 feet. So that totally changes the question. But anyways, it is a really interesting question.
It's hard to put a rule of thumb on there. And that's why I wanted to give that example, because you really have to use solid, good judgment, and you've got to be focused, just like the FAA says, and you know, in CRM, you really got to be focused on safety.
Yeah,
you can't
absolutely.
Be making decisions to get paid, because the way the FAA sees it is, oh, let's go back to the 25-foot circle, right? We've got a 25-foot cylinder that we can just go straight up and down. That's all we can do. Let's say for whatever reason, our drone... let's say we've got a funny guy operator, right? He's like, ha ha, I'm going to take it over people just to make you all stressed out and pissed off. And he flies 15 feet out.
Mm-hmm.
But in that 15 feet, there are 20 people because it's a crowded concert.
Okay.
How much of a fine is he going to face for flying over those 20 people? This is like a math game.
Yeah. It's 1,100 per person. You're
1,100
saying.
Okay. Per person per violation.
I love the whisper into the microphone. That's funny. So it gets very expensive very fast. Is the bottom line?
Yeah. I mean, what would that be? $22,200.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're at a concert, it's not going to be 22 people or 20 people.
Exactly.
It's going to be a lot more than that.
That's my point.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That could get really expensive. So obviously, be very, very smart. So can I bring this full circle back to the question of the whole 500 foot thing? That's gone.
That's gone.
Okay. So no need to worry about that.
No need to worry about it.
What does somebody need to worry about as far as that is concerned?
That's out of the window.
Okay.
Because we now have 107. So they need to be concerned about flying over people. Now, here's the thing, though. One point we haven't touched on is commercial versus non-commercial, mm-hmm. or as the FAA would say, model versus non-model.
Okay.
Even if you are flying for recreation, is it okay to fly over people?
Well, no.
Okay, why?
What do you mean? Because it's unsafe.
It's unsafe. But why, in a legal aspect?
I would think the AMA rules that you're supposed to be following for safety don't allow for it.
Exactly. So the FAA says you can fly drones recreationally if you adhere to a community set of standards, which they still haven't defined that. They redefined community set of standards, but they didn't define what that was. So whether it's the AMA or you're following the community set of standards from Drone U, because technically we qualify, which is weird, you can't fly over people.
Right.
And the thing, the FAA also says if you break the rules of the community set of guidelines, you are still liable for parts of 14 CFR 107.
Very interesting.
So guess what? You still get fined.
Even hobbyists need to be very aware then of those rules.
Yeah. So if you buy a drone, and tell this to your friends, you buy a drone for Christmas, New Year's, whatever you bought a drone for.
Birthday.
Don't fly it over people. And like people are posting right now of other people on Craigslist who are saying that they'll fly to 2,000 feet and charge $25 for a picture. And you just got to remember, guys, you know, this, we live in a different time now. It's post 14 CFR. So I feel like we are like month one after ADL, after drone law.
Right.
So you can get in a lot of trouble, whether it's recreation or commercial, especially if you cause an accident. So, you know, before DL or BDL, it was kind of a different story, but now we're ADL, we're after drone law.
Yeah, and the rules are there, and we need to obviously adhere to them. So, awesome.
Very true. Sorry, we went kind of deep in that, but I wanted to go deep into that.
Yeah, so hopefully that's answered that question. Obviously, that question no longer really applies, but if there are any follow-up questions, check it out at askdroneu.com. We'd love to hear them.
Definitely, guys. And if you have found this podcast valuable, or you think someone else will find this podcast valuable, share it with them. So many people are flying over people. And I ask you from the bottom of my heart, in trying to make this community better, please share this podcast, this particular episode, with anyone who just bought a drone. Seriously, share it.
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's going to do it for us today, guys. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.